Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program where we've got your goodies, your gadgets, your gizmos, and, of course, the tech news that you can use. And we are brought to you each and every week here in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. And you can, of course, give them a call at 530-244-4423. Notice it's hot.
Here in Reading, it is really hot. It's, dare I say, horribly hot.
Yeah. So,
annoyingly hot. Unhealthily hot.
If you are listening to this show here in Reading, sit back, relax, pour yourself something cold, and enjoy the show for a couple hours. Of course, you can always listen to...
And you hear us right in the middle of the day when you don't want to be out in the sunlight.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
It's not the heat of the day, but it is the you know, maximum solar radiation.
By the time we finish the show, the heat will be peaking.
109 was the high yesterday,
okay.
As you hear this.
Okay.
And at 8 p.m., it was still triple digits. That's insane. 8 o'clock in the evening, and it's triple digits.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that picture.
It's not healthy.
Well, and I hate to say it, but a very reliable source... As rumor has it, it's not going to back off very much.
Mm.
It will cool down this weekend, but it's still going to be triple digits every day.
And this temperature is not just rough on us. It's rough on your digital devices.
Oh, absolutely.
Do not leave your smartphone sitting on the dashboard.
In the
you
full
can
sun.
Blow up the LCD panel.
Yeah,
you,
or
you can destroy
even
the panel.
In your car where it gets really hot. If you have to leave it in your car, then put it on the floorboards where it's cooler.
If you leave
believe it
in your
it or
car,
not.
Don't put it on charge, because once you go past a certain threshold with your lithium-ion battery, that thing can go Note 7 on you.
In other words, catch on fire, which
or
catches
hoverboard
your
fart. Your car.
Yeah, hoverboard your car. Oh, my. Don't
so,
need that.
Yeah.
Definitely do not need that.
Make sure that you're... and we're going to have some story during this hour about... protecting your PC, and the big enemy of any electronics device, like I said, is heat and electrical surges. So we're going to talk about that. Got lots of topics to talk about. Of course, you can always write us if you've got a question about any of your goodies, your gadgets, or your gizmos. Just boomertechradio@gmail.com is the number or the email address to send off to. Or you can write at bob@kcnr1460.com. Well, the battle of the giant Walmart striving for in another effort to, I guess, push back against Amazon Digital Services. Well, Amazon Prime and Netflix. The article indicates that they're going after Netflix, but I would say also they're going to, go head to head with Amazon here. They are going to get into the streaming video business.
Wow.
With a new platform. Now, as I recall, sometime back, Walmart tried to get into the PC, and they tried to get into the Internet service provider business. Remember that? It was not a great success. They had their own line of PCs, and they were, I think, essentially ePCs,
which I don't
EPCs?
Yes, EPCs are a little bit like Ford Fiestas. Every once in a while, you might see one that's still operating.
E stands for economy.
Yeah. They were really
elemental. Yeah, elementary.
They were extremely cheap. And for good reason.
Economical.
Yeah. Although, there's actually an EPC in this room. It's a netbook that's nearly 10 years old.
I was going to say, it's been operating for quite some time.
And it just chugs along. It's a Windows XP, and it has one little job to do. And it does it. So it's not much smarter than a Raspberry Pi, but its little job is to record radio show as a backup. So yeah, but anyway, Walmart tried to sell, I believe, their own line of PCs. That did not work out well. Well, now they want to get into the streaming video. They're going to offer cheaper subscriptions. Companies said their plans could start at under $8 a month, along with an ad-supported free tier. Well and good. And Walmart already owns Vudu. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. They acquired the platform in March of 2010, but they haven't really been able to do a whole lot with it. Bloomberg cited research that says Vudu users spend less than 2 hours a month on the platform. Meanwhile, people are about 25 hours a month on Netflix. I think we have watched exactly one movie on Vudu, and that was one where we bought the DVD, and there was a streaming version of it, and it was a pain in the butt to watch. We downloaded a copy into a PC because we had to take it to a remote location, and it was a pain to use. Netflix and Amazon are expanding world. And the thing is, content. Where are you going to get the content? Because Netflix, of course, has original content. Hulu.
I'm sorry. Walmart, original content. It just sounds funny to me. King of economic, the king of cheap. Walmart, original content. I'm sorry. That just struck me as very
with
funny.
With all respect to anybody who actually works at a Walmart, I think that a reality show called The People of Walmart.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You want to talk about putting the Kardashians out of business.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But the thing is, we've got...
Brought to you by Walmart.
Do we need another streaming video service of the confusing checkerboard that shows up when you start up your smart TV or your Fire Cube?
It looks like a desktop on a computer. It looks like Windows 10.
And there's a rather significant segment of viewers who have a Fire Cube or a Fire Stick or an Apple TV, they're certainly not going to offer that service up through... Now, you can get Netflix through your Amazon, but they're not directly competing. This would be a direct competitor.
Right.
I don't see this flying.
Well,
I would not invest my money in this in this particular venture.
No, and, you look at satellite, you look at cable, all of the shows that are on there are contracted with those media delivery devices, right? So if something's on Dish, it may not be on another provider.
Right,
or
right.
Maybe they all are, like CNN, for instance, or ESPN, but each one of the satellite, what is it, Direct what's the other one?
Well, there's Dish and Direct.
Dish, yes, thank you. Those two are competitors, right?
Yeah.
So they both have ESPN, for instance, but Dish and Direct are both paying those content providers for the licenses to show that stuff. So you see some overlap on the online streaming people, but because it's the same thing, unless it's original content like Netflix or HBO or something like that, then of course they have their own thing, but. It's as if you had to parse and piece all of these things together to get the whole spectrum of things that are out there, because some license, like Disney's taking all their stuff to Disney.
Right, that's the thing. Disney is going to be a big player in this.
Right, and you have to subscribe to that, and then you go over here to get this from Hulu, and you go over there to get that from Amazon or whatever. And so pretty soon you're back up to $50 a month for all of this content. And you still don't have CNN and all that sort of thing. It's replacing a cable to some extent, or even satellite dish, but pretty soon it's kind of costly. So I think it's sort of like having the premium channels on your satellite or cable system. Pick and choose a few that you really like, and then don't worry about the rest of them. Or let's see, at your friend's house, they have this, and you have that, and the third friend has that.
Exactly.
So then you just go to their house, and nobody pays anything particularly a month, but, you know, you could share.
Yeah, screen sharing in a big way.
Right. And it's great, because you're like theater experience, you know? You have a group of people. I love the idea. It's like third Tuesday, it's at our house.
Yeah. There was actually a scheme a couple of years ago. Somebody was offering hardware to where two or three people could get in on this, and it was like Sling hardware.
Oh, yeah.
And one person would subscribe to the service and then Sling it to their
buddy. Five houses down the street, right? Yeah. The next five houses down the street.
Oh, dear me. So I'm trying to... I've got this weird, you know...
I know. It's like... okay, you just turned my headset down to nothing.
Yeah.
But it's like the mic is too hot or something.
Yeah, and I've got the mics, you know, adjusted down.
Who's been messing with your board?
Yeah, somebody been messing with... Well, one of the
things... Somebody moved your cheese.
The soundproofing in this studio.
Oh, yes, kind
of. A lot of it has been stripped out as part of the upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little boomier room.
It is a very lively room. And there was a big American flag where you are sitting.
Oh, that's right. That's all covered
and
uncovered down with glass.
And that's soaked up a bunch of snout, and now it's a big piece of glass.
Solid piece of glass.
It's always something. You have talked frequently, Brenda, about how your mom kicked and screamed when she had to give up the bag phone.
Oh, my gosh. That was...
It was an analog phone.
Yes, that was... Oh, that was just terrible for her. She just had a hard time with that because it was like a house phone, a phone in the house, you know. So it was easy for her to use. Mm-hmm. Cell phones are much more mysterious, particularly if they have any kind of... She had a Windows phone. It should have been simple. She just could not fathom the filing system. It's
you
really easy.
You and I had a little trouble with it.
Well, once you figure it out and you can, hit the home button, and then you can go where you need to go from there.
Just, you can see why the Windows phone was a consumer flop.
Well,
alongside an Android or...
So what you get, what you get used to, but, I mean, you didn't pay as much for it either.
Yeah.
She just needs a real simple phone, and she had Jitterbug for a while or whatever that one is. She didn't like it because it didn't make good connections, because it's not like a network like Verizon or AT&T.
Well, they
it piggybacks.
Space.
Yeah, and then the connection...
Well, they don't borrow, they pay for it.
Yeah, the connection was crummy, and I don't know, wasn't too much to her liking.
I think that Jitterbugs, that's more of a suburban thing rather than a remote area thing.
That may be, too, because you don't necessarily get on the best network. You know, you might be on 3G when everybody else is on 4G type of thing.
So Verizon has announced that it is time to say goodbye to 3G networks. Not just yet. Now, don't panic. You get to keep using your flip phone for the time being. but they will stop adding service to new 3G devices December 31st of 2019. Those devices will no longer be activated. The company has not officially announced a total phase-out. But it's going to be in the next 5 years because most carriers are already at work building 5G networks, and they need the space on the towers for the 4G and upcoming 5G equipment. The 3G stuff is slower, of course. If you've got a data plan and you're trying to do it on a 3G phone,
that's a study in frustration.
Yeah.
That is no fun.
Yeah. Most people have made the conversion. And Verizon does plan to decommission the 3G network at the end of 2019. So And if you're just, you say, I just need a really basic phone, take a look at like the Samsung J2. You got one for your brother, and it works just fine for him.
Actually, didn't he, we get him, was that a Samsung or was that a Motorola?
I think we got, it
might have been a Samsung.
Yeah, we got the J2 Samsung, which is a real basic.
Yeah, but it's perfect for him.
It's not a really smartphone. It's a kind of smartphone.
It can take pictures. You can text message, of course. He can get online and look stuff up. So it has it, you know, we attached it to the data plan. And it just doesn't, it's just not super fast or whatever. It's very simple. Works perfect for him.
Does it? It does provide some basic navigation.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get online and say, "Okay, blah blah. I need to go here or there, whatever." Yeah. So far as I know, it's working just fine for him. And he's not a big tech user. He's gotten really good at texting now, and he even sent an emoji one time. I was really surprised. That's not, that's like asking a lot right there.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. And he's way ahead of our mother, that's for sure.
So one of the one of the things that you can do, which we do frequently, if you've got a laptop and you want to be able to connect to the internet and you're not anywhere near somebody's Wi-Fi or you don't have a RJ45 to plug into to go directly onto somebody's router, of course you've got different options to be able to tether either to your phone and use your phone as a mobile hotspot, or you may buy a dedicated hotspot. We've done both, and we've had over the years about three different hotspots. Now, of course, our Samsungs serve as Wi-Fi hotspots, as does my iPad, which has a very good connection. My Samsung tablet also can be a hotspot, but we discover the connection is really, really bad, and we're not sure exactly why. Your best option to connect your device to your hotspot, whether it be your phone, usually these days, now, very few people are actually buying the dedicated hotspots because your phone can double up, just as you very rarely buy a dedicated camera anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to connect your laptop to your phone is going to be, of course, through Wi-Fi. It's the easiest. You enable your personal hotspot. If you have a Mac and use Instant Hotspot, lets you bypass all the password. The two machines just shake hands. So that's the best way to connect an iOS device to another. Wi-Fi provides you the fastest connection, a more reliable one. It will also pull the most battery power. So you want to be careful about that, because the more devices you try to hook up to your hotspot, the more current it's going to be pulling, and, of course, the less battery life. So if you want to do a low-power connection, you can use Bluetooth tethering. Bluetooth, of course, can be a lot of different things. It can carry audio to a set of speakers. It can be used for your headset. You've got keyboards that work on Bluetooth. By the way, as an aside, I have an Apple Bluetooth keyboard, and it has failed, and that's very rare. It won't connect to anything now, so I'm not sure what's up with that. But the $79 Apple small keyboard. I have changed the batteries.
Yeah, but did you look in there to see if there's any, residue from a leaky battery and all that?
It powers up, the little light blinks, but it just will not identify.
I guess you're going to have to use the one I had, and I don't even know where it is.
It's very, very irritating, though.
Where did I put that keyboard? Sure you don't have it already?
Now, maybe it was. I'm trying to think.
Sorry, I derailed you.
You
it's the heat.
It is the heat. My Logitech keyboard, which works great with my Mac, is just too cumbersome to pack around in a bag because it's a full keyboard plus keypad.
Uh-huh.
But it's solar-powered, and the battery never runs out. So if you are in a hurry, you can do the Bluetooth tethering to carry data, not as fast. But if you can't get – let's say you're in an environment where there's just too much going on, maybe you want to be absolutely secure, then connect, then you can connect USB to tie your phone to your laptop. This works especially well if you have a MacBook and an iPhone, but you can make it work with a regular PC and an Android phone. It just takes a few more steps to get the Android operating system to play nice with Windows. If you've got Mac, you know, got the Windows OS plus iOS, or if you've got Mac OS plus iOS, you are in like Flynn. They'll talk to each other very, very happily. USB, of course, doesn't get as much interference, but it is somewhat slower because you're using USB 2.0. That's a 480 megabit connection. It's not going to work quite as well. We have talked about this prior. Got a couple of robot stories for you, and this is not the, the Terminator walking down the street. We have noted on this show that agriculture is probably one of the biggest and going to be the fastest growing market for tech and especially robotics.
Yes.
Because they're away from people and they're not bothering anybody. In fact, the classic 80s movie Runaway with Tom Selleck starts out in a field with a picking robot that has developed a problem. but it makes sense because there's story after story of the people who work in agriculture being exposed to the chemicals.
Right.
If you don't have to make room for people to tromp through there, plus provide the water, the sanitation, the transportation, if you can just send a fleet.
Higher yield crop, maybe.
Yes, you can increase your density. You could actually go through and each plant can be scanned, and if it needs some special attention.
Right, because you can look at it in spectrum like ultraviolet and stuff like that that we can't personally see, and by the time the plant develops a problem, it's too late. But the other spectrum that are there that right. you can look at might detect that sooner, and you can fix it.
There is, in fact, a pepper picker robot.
Pepper picker.
it has a camera that analyzes each fruit, and when it spots one that is the right ripeness, it zeroes in. Has a cutter and carefully places the cut fruit into a basket and goes on its merry way. Actually, Europe and Israel are actually a little bit ahead of the United States when it comes to farm robotics because labor, I guess, is a little bit tougher to find.
Well, there's that, but you don't have to pay workman's comp or wages or people don't get, you know, robots get sick, but you can have some in reserve to step in. You know, and as far as being exposed to herbicides and pesticides, it would be nice if we could quit using those altogether. But the people that service the equipment would be exposed to that. Yeah. But that's far less than riding a tractor, for instance, for hours out in the orchard with the sprayer and being exposed to it more long term that way.
Well, the other thing is that these things can pass through, get the ones that are ready, and then go back and get and actually remember where the ones that are ripening that aren't quite ready and go back and get them.
You know, that's cool because tree-ripened fruit, for instance, is good, mm-hmm. And it's healthier for you anyway. And so many crops are picked very green or ripened in a warehouse with, you know, put in a paper bag, so to speak. And then also you don't waste as much in the fields.
Right, because
you actually get higher yield just even with the plants you have because you can go through in several pickings and make it work.
Story makes the point that a lot of fruit crop is lost because you have a very narrow window to get it all. Not all of it has gotten off of the trees or the plants. Some of it falls to the ground and rots. That's greenhouse gas.
Well, there's that angle on it too. Oh, my gosh.
So there's always going to be a need for human laborers, at least for the time being. But technology can help increase crop yields when, of course, food prices are a big factor. You are listening to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Back with more tech news you can use after this.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Reading sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Reading's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, Advanced Automotive.
Every week, Boomer Tech Radio brings you the tech news you can use either on the air or via podcast. You can go back and check old episodes at kcnr1460.com/archives or go right to our webpage, boomertechradio.com. Your brother has just gotten out of the aerospace industry. I bet he would find this next story rather fascinating. because jet engines are incredibly intricate devices. And to service them, there's a lot of parts with extremely tight tolerances going on inside that engine cowling.
Incredibly tight tolerances.
Yeah, because you are... You're spinning this thing at a pretty sophisticated, you know, at a heck of a speed. When things go wrong, they tend to go wrong. But the amount of time and energy to completely tear down an engine just to look at it and inspect it is a lot of money. And, of course, that reflects in the price of flying.
Well, not only that, but may not catch what's actually wrong with it.
The human eye may miss... some of these details.
Right.
And I accidentally flipped out of my
flipboard. Oh, okay. So Rolls-Royce, which of course is kind of a name that connotates
the big jet engine company.
Right, big jet engine company. But you know, a lot of people know them for luxury cars as well. When we've gone to the car shows and seen Rolls-Royces, they have a very distinctive look, as most cars do. It's not your average, you know, you go down the average neighborhood street, you're not going to see a Rolls probably sitting on the driveway ramp or even in the garage. But they have created what they call cockroaches.
The robotic roaches, Rolls-Royce's robotic roaches.
Yeah, there you go. That's very good.
That several times very fast. About 15 millimeters tall, that's about half an inch, just a few ounces, equipped with a camera. And optics for 3D scanning, engineers could then remotely assess problems before they go in and figure out if it needs to be repaired. And in a lot of cases, they can actually set up the robo-roach to perform the desired fix. This is getting into nanobot territory.
Yeah, in a certain way. So, like you said, if they were doing this and as humans, on the human scale, it would take 5 hours... And literally, the little robots, may take on the order of 5 minutes. You know, when you're small, you can run around in there and do things. And, the little camera's on it. Obviously, somebody has to run the robot.
There would be a technician operating it. Now, another device that can go in to these very tight places is like a snake. This is all part of Rolls-Royce's Intelligent Engine Project. It was announced earlier in the year to develop connected engines with the potential to pretty much self-repair. Now, maybe not necessarily while in flight, but like I said, the costs involved with tearing down a complicated jet engine and making sure you get it put all back together without a mistake.
Right.
Yeah, you forget.
Robots would be well suited to that. I don't think you'd want one of these things crawling around in there during flight, for one thing.
They would
be quite incinerated
or
chopped up. However, the prototypes that they are developing for this are quite a bit larger than the desired size, so they're not quite ready to do these repairs, but I'm sure they'll get there. It's interesting, the robots can be programmed to, when they're done, can be programmed to leave the engine, or they may even stay in there and get flushed out when the engine gets turned on, which I kind of wonder about, because if you put stuff through the engine on a plane and in parts and pieces, it tends to destroy things, you know? It's like a bird strike. You send a bird strike through a turbine engine and you stand a good chance of having it get trashed.
Yeah.
So these little robots, how could these little parts and pieces not potentially cause something of a problem?
Well, that's obviously one of the engineering issues that needs to be addressed. But there have been incidents where inadvertently a tool is left in an engine, or safety wire is not properly secured. That's a big one, and a little piece of wire goes through the engine.
Yeah,
steel wire goes and tears it up.
Tears it up. It doesn't take much.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
Interesting repair.
Stuff, yeah.
Repair on the fly, literally.
Well, so think about this. You know, can they do this with cars?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, and other or tight spaces in your house that somebody poorly engineered and it's hard to reach.
We've talked about
crawl spaces under your house.
Yeah, the potential for people for microscopic robots being able to repair damage inside the body rather than arthroscopic surgery, where they they still have to make a hole in the body and stick something in there. Could they perhaps one day actually inject microbots at the site to deliver medications to a tumor, to repair torn tendons?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive stuff.
Interesting idea. Very, very interesting ideas. Love it.
So
these things are...
But Rolls-Royce says these things could be online in a couple of years.
That's pretty interesting. So...
Fun thing. Now, we have been playing around with our new Fire Cube TV, and I will say the picture quality is much better than we had with our Fire Stick.
It's true.
And the reason is that the Cube has much more memory, so it's not compressed as much. And the Stick had a habit of overheating. On at least two occasions, it would shut down completely. Because it got too hot. It, at one point, it popped up a big thermometer on the screen, which was kind of hysterical. but it would quit working for no apparent reason and require a reboot. So far, so good on the Fire Cube. Plus, it's rather neat because it's got a IR blaster. So we've got it sitting in front of the TV. So all we have to do is tell the Lady A to turn on the TV. It's a little less successful with navigation.
Yeah, that's not terribly
still
impressive.
Still getting the hang of the navigation.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's a voice recognition issue or it's a voice recognition with the navigation issue. It is
really
still more efficient to do that analog, if you will.
To grab the remote and go with
Yes.
So here are some neat things you can do with your smart home. Now, of course, we've got our... little switches that are tied to our both to our Amazon and to our Google Home to turn lights on and off. Because you ever done it? You crawl in bed, been a long day, and the light switch is on.
It feels so good to lay down, and then you realize, oh rats, I left the light on, or not overhead.
Or you didn't
one.
Turn on the ceiling.
Oh yeah, you didn't do something. You know, you didn't turn the light out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over there, and you really don't want to get up and go over there to hear it. You know, you will if you have to, but it's just so nice to say, hey, gee, in this case, you know, living room on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And cha-ching. What I find interesting is the delay between when you say, well, but it's not consistent. Sometimes it's done right away, and other times... it takes a while, and then it always the voice comes on with some cheerful remark about, you know, okay, I can do that, or okay, you got it, and or okay, done, or
yeah.
or
okay, light off.
Yeah, and it's like, sure, I can do that, or there you go, type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a number of remarks that get made, but it's always after the fact. It's like, well, duh, I already know the light's on.
Now... if you've got Philips Hue lights, you can actually get mood lighting to go along with your movies. So you could actually say, start movie, and it'll initiate a sequence of events, dimming your lights, camera, and the lights dim down, the movie starts.
Real big theater experience, right?
Yeah.
yeah, but what was that Philips... television we had for a while, and it would put colors on the wall behind the screen.
This
was
supposed
to be
similar to
easier,
that,
easier on your eyes.
The Hue app will actually, if you're using a computer as your source, It'll actually change the room lighting to augment what's happening on the screen, because room lighting, as somebody used to do home theater, room lighting is a very critical thing.
Uh-huh. Makes a difference.
Of course, you can have what's called a goodbye macro. And these used to be a big thing when I was doing home automation, only it took lines and lines and lines of code and several thousand dollars worth of equipment. And you would tap a keypad and you would run a goodbye sequence. In other words, it would turn off, it would set the thermostat, turn off lights, make sure that it would make sure that the iron was turned off if you had a smart outlet on the iron. And
yeah, there
like
you
that.
Go, right? Most irons now, though, don't need that because they turn off after a certain amount of time anyway. So you don't have to interrupt your trip 50 miles down the road to go back and see if you turned the iron off.
There is a web service available called IFTTT. That's If This Then That. And what it does is that all of your smart home gear can, it looks at the state of your various smart home devices and makes decisions based on what the status of that device is.
So anyone who's ever done any programming is kind of familiar with this. And, you know, well, how, you know, if this truth, then do this. Or, you know, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C kind of thing. In this case, though, it's like you could program it to say, if no one's in the room for 20 minutes, turn the lights off. If I leave the house, turn everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the if then. If this is true, then do this.
You want to play around with home automation. And right now, like I said, we got into a form of home automation for about $39. We got the Wemo outlet smart switches. And these are just little guys that you plug into the wall, and then your lamp plugs into them. And you can set a time. It'll serve the purpose of a timer. In other words, turn on the lights at 4:30 a.m., turn them off at 7:30 a.m., turn them on again at sunset. This is a neat trick. You can actually have your lights cued to sunset, and that's right in the app. And that's all in these little, basically $20 plugs. Or you can command through your home control system, whether you have an Alexa or a Google Home, to turn the lights on and off as needed.
I don't really like the sunset one because it gets dark enough in there to need light before sunset.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine that a future update is going to have
like a light sensor.
Yeah.
Or you can set it for 45 minutes before sunset, it comes on no matter what. And how does it know when sunset is anyway? So that's got to go on the line and look it up. How does it know where you are?
Well, you actually
is
set
part
your
of the
location and astronomical tables.
Yes.
What are the constants in Earth?
Well, yes, but I mean, it has to have some sort of lookup table to go to, if you will.
I've done this. This is kind of a neat trick. Yes, we've played it with smartphones before, but your Google Home can dial, you can say, call
Joey's Pizza.
Call Joey's Pizza, and it'll look it up and dial it. And it's actually a good-sounding phone call. I've played with this a few times. And who this might be good for is somebody who has, again, mobility impairments.
Right. Or they're ill when it's hard for them to get out of bed, or whatever the deal is.
You just say, call, once you use the trigger word, call, followed by somebody in your Google contacts list, or just state the number. And then when to end the call, you can say, hey, Google, hang up, or just tap the top of the speaker.
Touch screens are so passe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can even do that on your smartphone. It's like, okay, mom mobile, or call mom cell.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, and it will usually figure it out. It has pretty good voice recognition, and it figures out which one it is.
Yeah. Now, HomePod still doesn't do phone calls, but that's supposed to be maybe on the iOS 12 update when it comes through. But you can transfer calls from an iPhone to the HomePod and use it like a speakerphone.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Although I don't look for the HomePod to last a whole lot longer. It's overpriced and under-featured.
Except does the HomePod then have a speaker in it?
Well, the HomePod is that big speaker.
No, I mean a microphone. Sorry. Yeah, the microphone part.
If you have a Nest thermostat or maybe a motion-sensing camera like the Canary, which costs $129, it will put an alert to your phone as soon as somebody is detected coming through the front door. You can distinguish between people and other types of motion. It'll ignore the cat. It'll measure temperature and humidity. While we were on the road last time, we actually used our Nest app to check on the house because we weren't sure about the our swamp cooler was acting up. So we wanted to make sure that the kitties were cool and safe.
Yes. the children.
Yes.
The fur children.
Now, if you've got a Nest security camera, and you want to be able to see what's going on outside and pop it up on your big screen, there's an app for that. You can use a Nest IQ camera and a Chromecast to pop that image onto the big screen so you can get a little more. It's because when you're looking on your smartphone screen, you're kind of squinting going, okay, what is that? is that a cat or a raccoon?
Yep. These voice commands, though, can sometimes be a bit, well, they get misunderstood just like we misunderstand things we hear. And so there's a little note here, if you will. It says, me, call Amanda. And Google says, here are some photos of pandas.
Well, it is an imperfect, but this can happen over a phone call between two humans.
Oh, absolutely. I had that experience the other day. It was we were talking about something, and I said something, and they said, what? That? No, this. You know, who hasn't had that experience, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you usually laugh because what the person heard, of course, they're like, what?
So
it doesn't make a big deal
out of it.
You know, here's some photos of pandas.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we gently pound at our audience, tell you over and over again, is how to protect yourself, how to avoid being hacked, how to make sure you've gotten your router updated and all that stuff. But there's some real basic things, too. The big news this week, of course, is all this fuss and refuss about the hack of the Democratic National Committee servers. And that hack was enabled because some idiot clicked on a link.
Yep.
A hypertext link.
Right. And you would recognize these as being highlighted, clickable segments of text in something that comes your way. It could be, you know, what looks like a website, or it could be a word or a series of words that you can, because you can do that. You can say, click here to find out more, and those words can be linked to a specific website,
for instance. The original intent of hypertext.
Right.
The big misuse of this, of course, is the bogus bank warning that your account is compromised.
Oh, yeah,
click
or your software.
Here to log in.
Yeah.
And verify your code.
So when it comes to hyperlink safety, there's a few things to know. Hyperlinks have different purposes or objectives or whatever you want to call it. There's malware installation, so sometimes when you click on something, it automatically will download something on your computer that you don't want. There's ransomware installation, same kind of thing. Poop, now your computer's held hostage for a ransom. There's credential harvesting, such as Bob was just describing. Click here to log in. You go ahead to log in, and now they have your username and password and can do something with that. Yeah, raise havoc. Keyloggers, it's the same kind of thing. They will go through and log all of your keystrokes, which can be related to passwords and all of that kind of thing, usernames and passwords. There's spyware that... is another kind of malware that records what you're doing and sends it to somewhere or somebody. And then fake antivirus. This is the one where it's, oh, your computer is unprotected. You have a virus.
Right.
And, you know, freak out, panic. Oh, my gosh, the sky's going to fall. Click here to fix it.
Right.
No.
Do not.
And it may trick you into buying bogus software to remove non-existent things, and so you give somebody some money for something that doesn't really exist. There's command and control software, and these are using networks of devices by cyber criminals to carry out attacks on third-party targets. So it might be, what do they call that, denial of service thing, where they
use DDoS.
Yeah, your computer and everybody else's computer in your
botnet.
Yeah, on your contact list, and it slams a website so that it, you know, is not available because it's overloaded. And then there's redirected hyperlinks. These are rather malicious because they appear to lead to a legitimate site that looks a lot like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Mm-hmm. So let's say your bank, for instance, and then it triggers you to reveal your username and password so they can get into your accounts. And so some statistics on that. In 2016, 12% of online users had clicked links in phishing emails, meaning the email was looking for some stuff, and people actually clicked on the links, and it did, you know, one of those nefarious things. So be really wary of links that have real shortened link names and things like that.
Ly dot and then a bunch of numbers. You don't know where that is.
Bit.ly is one thing. Stay away from that. Use a link expander to show where the shortened URL actually leads. You can look and see what the whole URL is. And if it looks weird, has a bunch of, you know, pound signs, asterisks, and things like that, and it's like nobody does that that's legit.
Right.
They just don't. Not that kind of stuff. So don't do that. And if you have foreign characters in there, that's another form of that.
Yeah.
Maybe some Chinese or Cyrillic characters. Don't leak on and link, you know, do that. And sometimes you can hover over the actual link and see where it's supposed to go. They used to do more of that, but they got clever about that and started to hide that sort of thing. So don't trust hyperlinks in spam or suspicious emails. So a suspicious email is, you know, hey there, you know, been a while since I've talked to you, when you talked to him 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I check out this really cool site that I found. It's like, they don't write or talk like that.
Right. And this happens on, like, Messenger.
Right.
It will be purport to be somebody you know. And, hey, just found out about this. Check this out. And then you'll see a link. And that's a way to get something on your phone.
If you have any doubts about email stuff, you get an email, call up your friend and say, hey, did you just send me that thing?
Right.
And or if it's some company and it looks kind of funky, you know, do a Google search on them on a whole new page or switch browsers and do something like that to see if they're legit. So another thing that you don't think about is the QR codes, which are those funky looking little square things with a bunch of odd stuffs in it. That's actually a hyperlink. So sometimes that can mislead you too.
Hey, we come back after the news at the top of the hour. We can talk a little bit more about computer safety, hyperlinks, tech news you can use. It's Boomer Tech Radio, breaking for the news at the top of the hour.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com. A national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. The White House is laying out the agenda for a planned summit between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Washington later this year.
National security will be the focus of the next Trump-Putin meeting, which is being planned for the fall here in the nation's capital. A White House official says the leaders would address national security concerns discussed in Helsinki, including Russian meddling. The official says the talks would also cover nuclear proliferation, North Korea, Iran, and Syria. The president's invitation to Putin was announced Thursday to the surprise of many administration officials, including the Director of National Intelligence. Greg Clugston, The White House.
A survivor who's lost 9 family members in the capsizing of a tourist boat on a Missouri lake Thursday night is recounting the accident.
I couldn't see anybody. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear screams. It felt like I was out there on my own.
In an interview from her hospital bed with Springfield, Missouri TV station KOLR, Tia Coleman described the harrowing moments after the boat capsized.
Finally, I said, Lord, just let me die. Let me die. I said, I can't keep drowning. I just can't keep drowning.
Coleman says she finally just let go, but found herself floating to the surface, where people on another larger boat came to her aid.
I said, Jesus, please keep me. Just keep me so I can get to my children. Keep me, Lord.
All 3 of Coleman's children, her husband, and 5 other family members drowned. She says the boat's captain had told them not to worry about life jackets when they boarded. I'm Ben Thomas.
Michael Stich and Helena Sukova were indicted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame today in Newport. Stich won Wimbledon in 1991. Sukova captured 14 Grand Slam doubles crowns, 9 in women, 5 in mixed. Check out more news, read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
U.S. regulators have approved a simpler one-dose treatment to prevent relapses of malaria.
Malaria is caused by parasites that are spread through mosquito bites. Those parasites can remain dormant in the liver and cause relapses months or even years later. Standard treatment takes 2 weeks, and many patients never do finish taking all the doses. In testing, one dose of this new drug from GlaxoSmithKline worked about the same as a standard 2-week treatment. Malaria causes flu-like symptoms and can be fatal, mostly in young children. Bob Agnew reporting.
South Korea's government dramatically cut its outlook on the job market while downgrading its growth forecast today, boding ill for President Moon Jae-in's first jobs agenda. Finance Ministry said South Korea's economy will create just 180,000 jobs this year, down from the 320,000 jobs it had forecast back in December. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Free medical, dental, and veterinary care to remote areas of the U.S.
Ram USA is holding a free clinic for uninsured and underserved Americans at the Wise County Fairground in Virginia this weekend. As many as 800 volunteer doctors, nurses, dentists, and others will provide free care for about 1,500 residents of this Appalachian region. You can learn more about their work at ramusa.org. This is Dr. Charles Snyderman reporting from Washington.
New Jersey has a new law that sharply limits where people can smoke at public beaches and parks. Under the statute, 15% of a beach can be set aside for smokers who'd also be allowed to light up in parking lots. However, the law doesn't specifically say who's responsible for enforcement, lifeguards or police or even somebody else. Fines would start at around $250 for a first offense and go up to $1,000 for a third violation. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio with Bob Belongi.
And Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome back to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos. Easy for me to say. Tech news you could use. And we're here on our second hour. And if you've got questions about any of the stories, of course, you can pop a email, if you're old-fashioned, off to boomertechradio@gmail.com. And we don't do any of the instant reply social media stuff because we're not that big. We don't have anybody who can monitor our social media in real time. We're just not quite there yet.
I'm not sure we want to be there.
Do we want to be that big? MasterCard has been granted a patent by the United States Patent and Trademark Office for a method of linking blockchain-based assets to fiat currency accounts. Now, fiat currency is something that is issued by a government. The dollar is a fiat currency. The ruble, the yuan, those are all fiat currencies.
Francs, pounds.
Yeah. The patent describes a description of systems and methods for managing fractional reserves of blockchain currency. So MasterCard is jumping into cryptocurrency to at least have a patent in place to position themselves. And, of course, this has the true believers in cryptocurrency, which is, of course, supposed to be free of all corporate control. Right? That's what they...
MasterCard's pretty corporate.
Yeah, MasterCard's pretty corporate. This supposedly will give... MasterCard sees the writing on the wall, so they are going for a method to cash in and be able to corner the market because these other, a lot of other banks, Goldman Sachs, pretty much has said, no, this is snake oil. It'll never fly. Blockchain technology, of course, just really briefly in a nutshell, rather than everything on a single server that can be attacked, hacked, and compromised, you take your information and spread it along a whole network.
Right. That has to agree.
Everybody has to sign off on whether a certain piece of data is legitimate or not.
Right. And who it belongs to.
And who it belongs to. So this will be an interesting thing to watch. Merchants still are very wary. It was interesting that the blockchain conference would not accept Bitcoin.
Would not accept.
Yeah,
the cryptocurrency conference doesn't accept cryptocurrency.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it does have its problems. I mean, there have been cases where cryptocurrency information has been lost.
Oh, and Coinbase has gotten themselves into a bunch of trouble. There's been a couple of exchanges hacked.
Right. And that stuff is poof, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
You know, it's not like they stole it somewhere necessarily. They made it disappear.
Yeah.
So this is not as fail-safe as originally thought. However, blockchain technology, while used for currency, I believe it has other applications. I'm going to have to look that up.
There is. I've got a story coming up about disruptive tech for 2019 that you're going to really like, and blockchain is one of those disruptive technologies.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit. Now, we talked earlier, we started off the show talking about how hot it is. But if you treat your computer well, I've got a MacBook Pro mid-2012 model that is still performing nicely. It probably doesn't have more than about one more upgrade left in it to the operating system. But after 6 years, that's to be expected. But it's been a solid little performer. I think that Mojave is right now I'm getting warnings that certain software I use, like Audacity, which is a 32-bit program, will not run when Mojave comes out. So I will probably set it up so I don't update to Mojave.
Yep.
So if you've got an older Mac, you might want to turn your automatic updates off, and just it'll nag you endlessly because it wants you to be updated to the latest software. But the High Sierra is the last one that will support any 32-bit applications.
Interesting. So, you know, this is sort of a forced obsolescence.
Exactly. Yeah.
You get forced to update or change your things because of the software or operating system incompatibilities with software. That's interesting you say that because there was a message that came out today from the IT folks. Well, the network, we've been getting reports of the network being relatively slow. And apparently a push-through security patch with Windows 10 is not playing well with the systems in the company computer. And the company computer is not an off-the-shelf. It's an off-the-shelf computer, but the all of the network connection stuff and all the security stuff that they put in there to firewall everything does not always play well with the real world.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, you know, if you are in the middle of this upgrade, let it finish, but otherwise, we are ceasing, because they push it through automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, we've stopped pushing through automatically. Those that are already in process, we'll let them continue, because you don't want to stop this in the middle of something.
Right,
that could be really bad.
Computer, yeah.
Yeah, that could be really bad. Speaking of breaking computers.
So, bad habits that people have that can lead to the early demise. And you ever seen somebody try to use their laptop, and you see this in the movies, using the laptop on a bed?
Oh, that's your lap.
Or in your lap.
A pillow.
Yeah, on a pillow, that's very bad. Most desktop computers, you know, they can stay nice and cool as long as you keep the filter, you know, blow it out every once in a while, and make sure there's not, you know, 10 pounds of dog hair stuffed into the fan or whatever. Laptops, though, if you have
them. You're not likely to put a desktop in your bed or on your lap, for one thing.
Put your laptop on a blanket. That blocks the airflow.
Yes. Most of them have vents underneath or along the edges and the sides. And you can tell that you can just put your hand over there and you can feel the airflow from the computer. In the winter, if your house is kind of cool, you'll feel this nice, warm, finger-warming air that comes from your computer.
Yeah.
But they're kind of close to the desktop.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't get very good ventilation that way. I took one and added some sticky dots on it to give it more airspace underneath the computer so the airflow is better and the cooling potential was higher.
Brenda and I both found these stands that we put our laptops on that elevate them slightly and tilt them slightly, which is kind of nice, makes them easier to type on. But it's got a mesh metal bottom. And they were actually made by Rubbermaid, of all things. And these are sturdy as all. They're
only like $15 or something. Yeah. They weren't that expensive.
And I think they were on a closeout.
Something.
But look for something like this. It's a metal. It's a solid metal. It's made of mesh, but it's a solid feeling metal stand that holds your laptop up and away from the surface of the desk and puts it at a better angle to type on.
So if you're going to use your laptop in your lap, my suggestion would be is you get one of those little lap desks.
A lap desk,
that
yes.
It has a hard surface on it so that your computer can maintain some spacing as it's designed to do with the little feet on the bottom and have some airflow out from underneath the computer and help keep it cool. Nothing worse than heat for your electronics.
And people being lazy, now we talk about don't grab the power cord and yank it out of the wall by the cord because you may get the snap, crackle, pop, or break the wire entirely. Don't grab, and everybody has done this.
Oh, sure.
Grab your laptop by the edge of the display and haul it around. that hinge is not meant for that.
Right.
If you break the hinge, you've just destroyed your laptop. It might be tempting to toss the laptop onto a bed or into the chair. You know, toss it. Well, if it bounces and hits the floor,
crash.
Goodbye.
And maybe
laptop.
I did drop a company laptop. I think it was an HP, and it cracked the case.
Mm-hmm.
It fell off a table and landed on the corner and cracked the case. Didn't affect the computer's performance one bit. It kept on working just fine, thank goodness.
A closed laptop is not a food tray or drink coaster.
yes, that is definitely one of those things, right?
Yeah. Especially if you've got a spinning hard drive rather than an SSD, shaking the computer or bumping it at the wrong time. And here's one. If you put your computer into hibernation mode rather than complete shutdown, it's still powered up.
Yep.
Don't take the bag and toss it into the back seat.
Right, because that's like putting it in your lap.
Yeah.
It's actually still running, which is hard on the drives as well.
Yeah, do not move the computer when the drive is running. Even though they're much more rugged than they used to be, you can still cause a hard drive skip. Now, I've got a problem, and I'm going to try to solve it. With my gaming PC at home, I've got a big laser printer, a Big Brother laser printer. And when it fires up, about every fifth time, it resets the computer due to a power surge.
Something.
Yeah.
You maybe need to have
something. So I've got
on the same power strip?
No, actually, they're not on the same power strip. The computer is plugged into a into an uninterruptible power supply, UPS, and the printer is just plugged into the wall. So what I'm going to do is I've got a device called an isobar that I can plug the printer into that and see if the problem magically goes away. Triplight makes a device called they've been the gold standard
isobars.
Yeah, of surge suppressors.
Right.
Isobar being $79. It's a trade name.
Isolate.
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, it isolates all three, and it tells you if you've got a good circuit, if the ground is intact. You'd be surprised the number of houses that have bad grounds.
That's dangerous.
It is dangerous. So I got to see, and I'll report back and see if my printer, because what happens, of course, when the laser printer kicks in, it's an enormous surge of power,
right.
And then your AC sort of rebounds, and your devices don't like that.
Hmm. Your gaming PC might be quite sensitive to that.
Yeah. So it didn't used to do that. So, yeah, I think the new PC is a little more
sure the UPS is working, because the UPS should prevent that.
Well, that's the other thing, is that the UPS is probably our friend Charlie.
A little worn out.
His UPS died and took his whole system,
confused it.
Wouldn't work. Nothing would work at all. So he pulled the UPS out, and everything started working again. I said, well, just go get another one. If you are in the habit of, especially if you've got a Mac, I've got actually two power bricks for my Mac, and the reason is every time you wrap that cord up, even though they give you the neat little ears on the power on the Apple power brick, every time you wrap that thing up, you're stressing the cable. And Apple power supply cables are notorious for coming apart after a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually got and I still have an old enough MacBook, but it's still got the MagSafe connector,
which
I think was a big mistake for Apple to stop using, because everything's a USB 3, USB-C port. I'm sorry, not the 3, the C.
Yeah.
That's a very, I get confused about it. Consumers get really confused.
It's, but it's plugged in so that if you trip over it or you, you know, move something or whatever, it doesn't connect,
it just
disconnect
pops the
very easily.
Off. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like the mag connector did. But I suppose there was some performance issues that they can't use the new stuff.
Well, they wanted to do one connector to rule them all,
well,
which, of course, means you got to buy the
mag
external
connector.
Box.
Yeah. Yeah, why wouldn't a magnet connector be good?
A magnetic USB connector. Hey, why not? Finally, there was a day when you routinely had to, remember, defrag your computer.
Oh, yes.
Remember defragging?
Oh, yes.
And optimizing.
Defragmenting.
Yes. deleting unused temporary files. Your system does that anyway. Windows 10 does that during its normal operation. A PC cleaning utility, and you hear these ads on the radio.
That should make you worry right there.
Virus software is inhabiting your computer. Get the cleaner now, and all your problems will go away, and birds will sing, and, you know, the fountains
blue
will
skies
fly. Yeah,
and birds will chirp.
At best, they take your money and give you no benefit. At worst, they take your money and screw up your computer.
That's the worst of it, right?
I don't use McAfee. I don't use Norton. I don't use any of those because with Windows 10, the Windows Defender system gives you pretty much all the protection you're going to need. The viruses evolve so fast, and viruses are almost passé. The traditional method of spreading a computer virus is much faster to do internet malware. But the computer viruses, things that are spread to your computer like ransomware, a virus catcher isn't even going to notice that's there until it's far too late. So I don't personally use an antivirus. I know several tech people have moved away from. You don't get the benefit from Norton and McAfee and all those that you used to. If you really want to have some antivirus, AVG is a good choice. Komodo is a good choice. Especially if you've got a 7 machine, you know, Windows 7, you haven't updated to Windows 10. But if you've got Windows 10, most of the protection you're going to need is already built in.
I was going to say, Windows 10 has a very powerful antivirus thing. It's updated quite frequently. Unfortunately, it's updated quite frequently. I have to sometimes just go in and turn on my computer an hour or two before I want to use it because it's busy downloading updates, and some of them take longer than others. I've been known to leave it on overnight to let it finish doing that job.
I recommend doing that anyway. Every once in a while, just leave it on, let it do its thing overnight
let
without
it play
interruption.
Catch up. Yeah, exactly. That can be a bit annoying. And actually, you know, there's always the big debate, do I leave the computer on or do I turn it off and on? At home, I turn it off and on because I'll go many days without turning it on, at least the laptop. I look at my tablet all the time. But at work, we've been instructed to leave it on, but that's because...
They push the updates.
Exactly, force pushes. So it's like, okay, shortens the lifespan of your equipment potentially, but, you know, if you had a solid-state computer, that's maybe not the same as having a mechanical drive, but still, heat destroys electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And when your device is on, it is generating heat, and it may cause problems over the long haul.
Now, while a traditional antivirus probably isn't as necessary as it used to be, one thing that you do very strongly want to consider getting for your PC is going to be Malware Bytes anti-malware, because a lot of stuff comes in through a website, and the built-in Chrome and Windows Defender aren't always up-to-date catching. There's a free version of Malware Bytes. If you just want to run an occasional scan, the paid version is always running features that look for suspicious activity and stop it before it can get through. And I don't see the price here in front of you, but it's not a terribly big investment. And Malware Bytes is recommended piece of software. But the registry cleaners and stuff like that, don't waste your money. In fact, a registry cleaner...
Ooh, that could be dangerous.
If it deletes something that you need,
yep,
can brick your computer.
Yes, absolutely. That can be very dangerous.
Leaving your computer unattended. I mean, I'm just going up to the counter to get a latte here at Starbucks. That's all the time somebody would need to step up and pop a USB stick into your computer. Because these new ones are tiny. And they're very, very thin. The last thing you would want is, of course, a keylogger running on your computer. So do not leave your computer unattended. In fact, most workplaces, you get up, you have to take your card with you, which basically locks your system down.
It's incredibly annoying. It is. It's just, it's, you know, you type your password in 30, 40, 50 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you get bored.
You got to be working on biometrics, you know.
Well, yeah, or hit the, you know, gee, which key on the keyboard is the one that'll open the sesame door, right? They might get lucky and hit, you know, get five tries, three tries.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it right, then it shuts it down. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes you have to think, because, you know, why are these hacks still going on? Why is information still being stolen?
All right. I want to know who the moron is who responds to these robocalls that makes it profitable. Because somebody has to be responding and making it profitable, or they would stop doing it.
Okay, what call did you get?
It was a credit. One of those, your company's credit card is being evaluated, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and we have a free service, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, my favorite one, of course, is when I'm working on the MacBook and get a call from the fake Microsoft people.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. And the, you know, oh, your
yep,
computer
has... Yep, a problem with your computer. That's my Chekhovian, I don't want to pick on people from
East European.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've all heard some kind of accent anyway.
Yeah.
And typically, it's really depressing. You know, it's like, how dare you bilk hardworking people out of their
exactly,
hard-earned money.
Yeah.
That's just, thieves are scumbags.
Well, it's the they call them confidence games because,
yeah,
and these have been around as forever. Remember in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the Bible salesman, you know, and they always has a sob story. And it's all about playing on human nature, everything from carnival games to high-tech.
Time-honored, you know, methodologies.
Yeah. It's all about human nature.
Exactly.
If you are a big Apple fan, of course, the buzz right now is iOS 12. Of course, we're on the iPhone 10, but the operating system is up to version 12. It isn't out yet. The iOS 12 isn't going to be a huge revamp in terms of the look and the fit and the feel of your iDevice. But it's mostly a lot of tweaks. The control panel is going to look essentially the same. But there are some pretty interesting things that your iDevice is going to be able to do when iOS 12 is released into the public. Apple includes a QR code scanner. With iOS 12, a Control Center shortcut will launch the camera app and scan a QR code with ease without having to launch a completely separate app. It'll be built into the operating system. Now, as we mentioned earlier, there are QR codes that will actually launch a malware site. Mostly, though, if this is a, let's say, you're in a public building and, you know, museums are starting to put QR codes, instead of having the headsets that you walk around with and wonder how many people have worn it that day, you can actually take your phone and scan the QR code and get a description of the thing that you're looking at, which is kind of cool. With the iPhone X, Apple introduced Animoji to the world, which I absolutely don't get. These little digital cartoon characters come to life. In iOS 12, Apple has added Memoji. Instead of being just animals, robots, or ghosts, users can create a Memoji that looks just like you, or whatever you want to look like.
Wow, just what I need.
Yeah, this is obviously something for the person who has way too much time on their hands or an overabundance of ego.
Oh, my goodness.
The messages camera, you can add an emoji. In other words, if you've always wanted to, if you really don't want people to take you very seriously, you can put a teddy bear or a monkey face upon yourself while you converse.
Or having a bad hair day just covered up.
This is probably not the way I would call the boss, who might not be as tech humor savvy as you are. FaceTime getting a big update in iOS 12. You can have up to 32 participants in a group FaceTime call.
Wow.
Let the pandemonium commence. iOS 12 now has automatic updates. I would personally leave this off. Because how many times has an iOS update come through that 3 days later
it's got
something really wrong with it?
Yeah. don't download it.
I wait a week at least to let other people have problems before I enable the updates on my iPad, because I have seen far too often bad things happen. It's just like I have automatic updates turned off on my MacBook. A do not disturb function, which I think Android already has this. In other words, you can set between, this is kind of neat, because if you forget to turn your ringer off and the robocall comes through at 3 o'clock in the morning, that is bad stuff. We're going to...
That's good. Do not disturb.
We're going to break and then come back for our final segment. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio.
Might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear put directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah. I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Blues Hall of Famer Robert Cray is bringing his band back to the Cascade Theater in Reading for a show you don't want to miss. Robert Cray blends blues, soul, and American roots with a soulful voice and precision guitar work that's earned him 5 Grammys. The Robert Cray Band, Friday, August 3rd at the Cascade. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Got a little wrapped up in the iOS 12 story there. Actually, a little time go by. The theme music you are listening to is 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood. It is off the PodSafe Music Network and is being used by permission. Thank you, George. Of course, the program brought to you here in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, 5756 F Westside Road.
Great folks.
They are great folks.
They can help you with your car technology.
They can. Now, features that have come up in iOS 12, do not disturb. So you can actually have your phone go into a do not disturb mode for an hour till this evening, until I leave this location. So rather than, because I've done this when I come, I would use this if I had an iPhone. Because when I come to work, I'm in a radio studio. I can't have my phone ringing and beeping and chirping and belching and all the other odd noises that our phones make. So I turn off the sound. Well, if I get in a hurry when I leave, I forget to turn the sound back on.
Right.
And then I miss calls and Brenda gets mad at me.
Not always. Texts more likely. I don't call you that often on the cell phone, but I sure do text you.
Yeah. Well, if I have turned, I go, why haven't I gotten any? Oh. So you've got a settable do not disturb. iOS 12 will have better notification management. Notifications from the same app are now stacked. You can you will see notifications on your lock screen. It's mostly this is tweaks. And then of course the big thing is screen time. We actually have an app to tell us to not use apps so much.
That seems crazy, right?
Yeah. We've got a story, if we have time for it, about some of the impacts of excessive screen time. But this is you can actually track how much time you have spent staring at your phone and what you've been doing.
You need that for your computer.
So new features coming up in iOS 12. Wanted to get to this story. We've always got stories left over at the end of the show, which is better than us sitting here looking at each other going, so how about that weather? Go ahead with the weather. Tech that, you know, the last several years, it's been little incremental steps in technology. CES hasn't had a huge breakout product for some years. A lot of this stuff gets leaked early, so it doesn't we're not seeing a product that nobody's ever seen before hit the horizon, you know, come out with onto the stage. But there are some technologies, mostly tweaks of stuff that we've already seen, that are going to be big game changers. With the growing prevalence of data breaches and, of course, massive interconnection, how do we identify each other? There's this whole thing that we were talking about earlier with the real ID and all the hoops you have to jump through to get a driver's license that you can get onto an airplane with. And I had the occasion, the unfortunate occasion, of going to the California DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, for those of you who live in other areas, there were people who had been sitting there for hours with their documents to get new identifications. And it just backs everything up.
That's crazy.
Ways to verify identity, protect privacy. Blockchain is actually showing a promise as a robust, incorruptible, yet encrypted method of record keeping, and companies like Evernim are starting to do it. Blockchain can be used for shopping securely, whether online or in person. So rather than Amazon storing all of your life based on what you're shopping, this puts control back into your hands.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. But still gives you the convenience of somebody not stealing your identity.
Your identity, your personal information, right?
Well, here's a simple idea. If you want to make an AI smarter, what do? You put it head-to-head against another AI. In the arena of digital images, one AI attempts to create a realistic image. Another AI attempts to decide. It's a sort of a Turing test. It decides whether the image is real or artificial. Is it live or is it Memorex?
Yes, live or is it Memorex, yes.
By having AIs compete and test each other, any domain, voices, video, whatever, it's called a Generative Adversarial Network, or GAN, because what it's doing is it's actually upping the ante. It is a self-corrected, just as our brains self-correct the images and the sounds and things like that around us. Oh, that sounds like, oh, no, it's really such and such. Well, that looks like so-and-so. Oh, that's really such and such.
Right. So how could this be used? Everyone has been on a website, maybe ordered something. Well, I shouldn't say everyone, but if you've been on a website and you've ordered something, or you are making a blog post to something, a newspaper article, something, you'll get what's called a CAPTCHA. And that little character that says, type in what you see, and it's this morphed set of letters and numbers or something like that. And so this is to prevent a computer from automatically being able to put things on there, because it's human recognizing what that is.
Yeah.
Well, this software is going to be able to get around that, if I understand this article correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it breaks that, if you want to think of it as gatekeeper software. And so this means, of course, that we're going to have some other secure thing going on.
It may push this blockchain identification system, make it even more important.
Right. So blockchain is the security aspects of blockchain. Might be replacing that. So it'll be interesting, dueling AIs can be good or bad. You know, they can lead to innovation and creativity or creation of things, or obviously this could be quite destructive if it gets into something that bypasses bypasses some sort of security system.
3D metal printing. Now, we've gotten pretty good at printing objects in plastics, stuff that we can melt and squish through a nozzle and make tiny bits of very, very fast. Although it still takes a fair amount of time to 3D print a structure.
Anything, yeah. But metal, printing metal's not that easy.
But GE has been printing metal fuel nozzles for their new series Leap jet engines. Nike is printing metal cleats. 3D metal printing it could be to for one-off toys and jewelry. Again, and we've talked about this repeatedly, 3D printing can eliminate whole chunks of the supply chain.
Right. You don't have to make the widgets here and transport them there. If you have the right program and you need one, you print a widget right here on the spot.
I am going to bet that Amazon is hip deep in research in 3D printing.
Oh, it would not surprise me at
all. Imagine a commerce site like an Amazon and a Kinko's type situation where you used to go get all your photocopies made before photocopying printers became much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine the part for the ice maker, rather than having it shipped all the way here from China because of the economics of scale, you actually, and if they don't sell it, it becomes obsolete and it goes in the trash along with the packaging and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Yep.
But if with print-on-demand 3D technology, anything that can be, for instance, if you need a door handle for that classic 1965 Mustang and the blueprints exist or can be drawn up, guess what? It can be manufactured economically.
Yep.
And we're talking about 3D printing of body parts and prosthetics and things like that. Shoes that fit well. And there was discussion about printing fabrics.
Yep.
And printing bras.
Printing shoes. Well, the advantage of this, of course, is that anything that you wear on your personage, shoes are a great example. Our feet are all different, and they change with age as well.
Yes.
Or you have surgery or an accident, and things aren't the same shape they were before or something like that. Printing shoes would be awesome.
Yeah. Or eyeglass frames.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Now, we know the guy, Dan's Optical, he can make the lenses right there, although he has to send them out for some of the finish work. He can make lenses right there on his site. Imagine, because he's got to take the lenses and kind of tweak them around with a set of, with the pliers and stuff to get them to fit your face. Well, if they could just take a 3D scan of your face.
Right.
And make the frames right there. How cool would that be?
Or even the lenses, too, could identify your pupil distance. They're always looking at that. Or if you have one eye that's higher or lower than another, and a lot of folks do, then it can correct for that sort of thing. Pretty amazing what the possibilities. And some of this will become standard everyday thing. You go to Walmart to get some widget printed. Mm-hmm. And if you send in the order ahead of time, Walt's in the store and pick it up. And then even better is they'll send it to you at your house, all for a fee, of course.
Yep, or just they can be Uber delivered or something. So the big tech story this week that just broke in the last few days, as we're recording this, the European Union, the European Commission, just absolutely slapping Google with a $5 billion fine. The biggest antitrust ruling the company has ever faced. The commission's central complaint is that because Google required Chrome and Google Search as a default service on any device that uses the Google Play Store, Android was engaging in anti-competitive behavior.
Mm.
Now, I understand what the Europeans are trying to do, but let's face it, most other search engines suck. Now, this may keep what could be a better search engine
from surfacing.
From surfacing?
I don't know. You know, if you
well,
make
Microsoft
the web
tried
open,
to push Bing down my throat for years without success.
Bing. I am not a Bing fan. It's okay. It's semi-adequate, but not really.
Now, by the way, this is sort of a deja vu all over again. This is the 20th anniversary of the landmark ruling when regulators cracked down on Microsoft for requiring, for bundling Internet Explorer into Windows and even called Bill Gates onto the stand to testify. This was when Microsoft basically... was bundled into 95% of Intel PCs and basically pushed out Internet Explorer over competitors like Netscape. This was a big antitrust suit. Now, of course, if you want to use Chrome on your Microsoft system, you are able to, or if you want to use any of the other multiple browsers that are out there.
Yes, thank goodness. Thank goodness you can use Chrome on your Microsoft machine.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on Edge. I use it from time to time.
Sort of a
built-in browser
Windows. I don't understand why there was such a big hoopla about that.
Well, Edge was supposed to be a whole different platform than Windows Explorer. For a while, you could actually get both, but I just I still have trouble with Edge. Some people swear by it. I'm just not real happy with it.
It's sort of like a Bing thing. I don't know. I use it because it's what's on the computer at work, and I kind of have to go with that. Although, it's interesting. We all have Chrome on our company computers, but it's not supposed to be there.
But everybody uses it.
And the IT people use it, too. That's the ironic
part.
Yeah,
there you go.
They do. They admit it.
But you're all supposed to use the stock Microsoft. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. A couple of things as we...
our version of it, anyway, it's been tested.
As we head towards the end of our hour here, this hour. We're being teased again. My Samsung is... rumors are out that they may offer a foldable phone tablet. In other words, if it's folded up, you can use it as a regular phone, but if you want the bigger screen real estate, you open it up like a book,
kinda
and
like,
now you've got a tablet.
Kind of like those little tablets we saw on Westworld.
Yeah,
the show,
exactly.
Westworld.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that. The tablets, I mean. Well, the show and the tablets in the show.
Yeah, those are kind of good. There's been some other shows we've seen where the tablets are very thin, weight almost, you know, like a thick sheet of plastic. And you can see through it. Have you noticed that in order to be a science fiction screen, you have to be able to see through it, which would be terribly distracting and impractical because any light behind it would make it hard to figure out what's going on.
Kind of obnoxious.
Exactly. Hundreds of thousands of voter records were left exposed through an Amazon service, ZDNet is reporting. A Virginia-based robocalling firm apparently had their entire database on an Amazon server. Among the information that was left accessible, names, home addresses, gender, phone numbers, age, birth years, ethnicity, education, and language of hundreds of thousands of voters. This was a company that... would call and say, we want you to vote for, you know, please vote for so-and-so. Data breach was discovered recently. These are records that were in a cache, so it's uncertain who got hold of the information or how long it was out there. But again...
Yeah, you just kind of have to assume it's not if, it's when.
There are people who are, their whole life revolves around finding these vulnerabilities and exploiting them.
I guess it's modern day.
Your stuff is out.
Get your jollies there somewhere.
According to the Next Web, and we've all seen this, study is out that links frequent gadget use to increased attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in teens.
Think about that. And it's, if you think about that, when they're engaged in this, you know, with the machine, should be engaged with other people.
This latest study, published in nothing less influential than the JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, it has linked ADHD symptoms to teens who frequently use electronic devices. Out of about 3,000 high school students studied over a two-year period, those who consume multiple types of digital media were about twice as likely to report ADHD symptoms as their peers. The more they consume digital media, the more prevalent the symptoms: impulse control, inability to focus, and lack of patience. However, I would throw out, is this a chicken and egg thing?
Right. Did it?
Does ADHD make you more likely to consume the content, and does it create a feedback loop?
Right. Or is somehow doing these things reinforce a natural thing that's already in the brain, and it just shows up sooner, or it shows up more clearly?
Yeah. The study relies on self-reported surveys, which, of course, it's like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, how many cups of coffee do you drink every day, Bob? Three. But they're really big cups.
Yeah, that's right.
Define cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true, right?
You said I could have one cup. I've got that somewhere. I could have one cup of coffee, and it's like this half a gallon.
Yeah, this bowl full.
Of course, there is a lot of problem with a distracted life.
Oh, yeah.
And all humorous videos aside from people walking in the lamppost and things like that, there have been some serious incidents
brought about.
But there have been serious incidents brought about by burger management, by leaning over the back seat, fiddling with the car stereo.
Yes. All of these things.
All of the above. So these are just the ones that get the press.
True enough. Just a new, modern-day form of age-old problem in some respects. Although, psychologically, I can see where being so connected and on electronic devices all the time could potentially lead to disconnection from people and that sort of thing. I can see how that happens.
There's been a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. There'll be some future professors that get to the PhDs that get to study this stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll decide that, you know, you need to limit your device, use a day, and that there's already some movement in that direction. I don't know why people aren't okay with being seemingly disconnected. You're not disconnected. You're just not, you know, instantly, yeah, intimately connected. I like a little private space. Thank you very much.
A couple of quickies here. Corning has a new Gorilla Glass Type 6. Your phone that it has this glass should be able to survive repeated drops from heights of 3 feet or more. The glass, normal glass, usually fails on the first drop. This new Gorilla Glass, now Corning, of course, best known for Pyrex, is also a major supplier of glass for smartphones, TVs, and other electronics. Gorilla Glass has been introduced, getting better all the time.
They were also famous for the heat shield tiles on the belly of the space shuttle.
Absolutely. So, finally, Netflix has a new TV interface, has a sidebar and a separate section for shows and movies. We haven't seen it yet, but look for a change in your Netflix interface. And
might be easier to use.
eBay is starting to lose ground. People have been shying away from eBay, preferring to get products from Amazon. Looks like the writing is on the wall for eBay. They are doing massive layoffs at their headquarters in the Bay Area.
That's too bad, because you can find some really cool stuff on eBay.
Boomer Tech Radio, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill.
Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.